Hello, I'm Mike Patra, and I'm the host of the Hoopball DFS Today podcast. Come join us as we go game by game, breaking down our top plays, fades, values, pivots, and talk overall strategy for both tournaments and cash games. And the best part, we're doing this 7 days a week. So come check us out. That's Hoopball DFS Today. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Mike Apatria, for any updates, listener contests, and DFS information.
All right, the NFL is back, and so is my bookie. My bookie is a home run. It's a slam dunk. Oh, in this case, it's a touchdown. I love it. You love it. And that should be all you need to hear. As a matter of fact, that's not true, Jill. All you really need to hear is with my bookie, it's easy. You bet. You win, they pay. It's that simple. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is use the promo code HOOPBALL when signing up. Again, football season is here. You know you want to have some extra fun on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays. So use MyBookie. MyBookie's got you covered. And again, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. And we are back here into the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network. We are so happy that you are here with us. I'm Damian Barling, along with my partner in crime, the person who actually makes this show fantastic, and that's Jill Adge. Jill, you are phenomenal. You know what we haven't done here yet since we've started doing the show together is we haven't urged people to rate and review the show. We obviously want people to subscribe. We want you to listen every Wednesday when a new episode drops. And the news gods were on our side as some fun little notes regarding the Sacramento Kings dropped over the last couple of days. But we want people to rate and review the show. We want you to subscribe, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you're on the radio.com app. It doesn't really matter. Just if you are a subscriber, please rate and review the show. We would greatly appreciate it and tell everybody how much you love it. Tell everybody how much you love the addition of Jill Adge, because quite honestly, I know you were getting sick of listening to me. Jill, I was getting sick of listening to me. And quite honestly, I can't blame you, because rarely did we ever have good things to talk about as it pertained to the Sacramento Kings. It was usually quite infuriating. But in this case, we actually got, would you frame the report from The Athletic as good news yesterday?
Yes.
It was good news because it was the names you wanted to
hear. Yes, because there's names we want to hear, but it shows that they're actually, to me, looking at the right names.
Right.
You know, no matter how much it whatever it turns out to be, at least some of it. For the most part, these are the kind of names that an experience that you're looking to have in your front office. There are some names, sure, that I wish that would have been in there, but I don't know their process or if whatever else that they've done. But it's a strong list of names. And a lot of them, some of them are up-and-comers who have never had this position before, which is more realistic, like we were saying, that it's going to be hard to lure anybody away from a stable situation unless you're offering a legitimate promotion.
And who are the up and coming names that you're talking about? Because there were six names referenced in the report, and let's get this part out of the way first. Because actually, this is the part we probably should have addressed first. One of the six is already out. That's Trajan Langdon. That's a guy that you and I both really like. He's the general manager of New Orleans. He is not.
And a lot of people didn't realize that he was the general manager, I guess.
Right, because it's similar to, like, Pat Riley is not the general manager of the Miami Heat.
Right.
But you think of Pat Riley as the general manager of the Miami Heat. He's very much not. And in Trajan Langdon's case, people think that David Griffin is the general manager. David Griffin very much is not. It was actually Griff who hired Trajan Langdon. And I think the two you would know better than I do because, well, this is what you're great at. Didn't the two work together in Cleveland? Trajan Langdon and David Griffin, they worked together in Cleveland. So, you know, this is Griff's opportunity. You know, I joked about it on social media. It's a pretty easy joke to make. Do you want to build a roster around Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, the guy who won the most improved player in the league this year? Do you want to build around Lonzo Ball, who I think is still a very quality player? Do you want to build with all the different draft picks that they have coming in from the New Orleans Pelicans deal, or excuse me, the Los Angeles Lakers deal for Anthony Davis? Or You want to go to Sacramento, which hasn't been the most stable place over the last 7 years or over the last 14 years. So, let's start there before we really dive into other six candidates. Trajan is out. Do you think there are other names who, you know, give the old thanks, but no thanks to the Sacramento Kings?
My favorite person, Adam Simon, I think will give the, he's done that to every other team this summer. And it, to me, I don't know if anyone could ever lure him away from Miami. The dude has spent 25 years there.
Right.
And literally, like I mentioned on here before, has held every position possible within a front office you can have, starting as an intern and then working as an admin assistant. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then worked himself up to a VP, assistant GM. I mean, it's incredible the different positions this guy has held. And to me, it almost, I mean, I don't know in terms of Miami who else you would be grooming for that job either. He handles so many duties that a GM already does that, I mean, you could say he's just as much the de facto GM there as anybody else realistically.
You work for arguably the most stable franchise in the entire league.
In South Beach.
Yeah, and you're in South Beach, exactly. That's going to be a tough pull. And I think after, you know, the note, because really, you know, when we got the news yesterday, we got it at about 1 o'clock, which is my right in the middle of my radio show on ESPN 1320 that you could hear on the radio.com app. But it was right in the middle of the show, and it was like, okay, what would get a guy like Trajan Langdon to consider this? What would get a guy like, you know, and Trajan's circumstances are like really the polar opposite of Adam Simon's in that Trajan's new in New Orleans.
Right.
And this is his first general manager gig. Yep. Adam's the assistant in New Orleans, but as you noted there perfectly, he was in the video room with Eric Spoelstra,
in 95.
You talk about an organization that grooms its own talent. Like, are you kidding me? Your assistant general manager and your head coach were video guys. Like, it's like Pat Riley sees talent within his organization and doesn't allow it to leave. It's like, no, you're getting an offer where? Oh, no. We'll give you that. We'll give you that here. You could do that here. As a matter of fact, what's above the position they offered you? We'll give you the position above that. Like, when he recognizes talent, he doesn't allow talent to leave his building. And Adam and Eric are too. And Adam and Eric are very close. That's why we're all very good friends. That's why I'm referring to them as Adam and Eric, because we're all very tight.
Right. We're best buds.
Yeah, we're best buds. But I was fetching the film for them in the room. But he doesn't let talented guys like Adam Simon and Eric Spoelstra walk out of his organization.
Right. And so on the same token, I would add Calvin Booth to that conversation as well, because there's a reason why Tim Connelly didn't go out on a search and hired Calvin Booth right away, because Calvin has followed Tim to three different organizations.
Right.
Like, there is a trust factor there. And he's another up-and-coming guy, and it made sense to move him up. He knows the system. He's been there during their climb. So to me, those are probably the two most likely names too. And again, he just got promoted to the general manager position of the Denver Nuggets. So again, you have the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets, who by all intents and purposes are on the rise and a steady rise. I don't see, I mean, barring crazy, crazy circumstances, I don't see those teams falling off anytime soon.
So let's go. So we've kind of eliminated. Well, actually, I was going to say we eliminated two. We eliminated two. Trajan eliminated himself. We started with six. We're down to three. And we're only about 10 minutes into the podcast. But realistically, that's what we're looking at. There's a couple of things I want to do, Jill. Let's go through the remaining names that were featured in the Athletic report. And let's go through with the thought that's probably going to make some people uncomfortable, is the fact that there's probably going to be names added to the list. Now, whether that list, you know, and this, you know, I asked James Hamm today when he joined Kenny Caraway and I, you know, are they, because he asked a question to the Sacramento Kings about Joe Dumars' role in all of this and in what exactly the position that the, like, what exactly is the position that the Kings are hiring? And he wasn't clear on the answer he got. And I asked him, do you think that's a lack of transparency to you? Or do you think that the Kings don't actually know? And then I joked later that perhaps the Kings aren't throwing out the EVP role until they have to. It's like, no, we've got a general manager job. Well, I won't come here unless an executive vice president job. And it's like, well, okay, since you brought it up, maybe we'll go ahead and make it available. But if a candidate doesn't comes in and doesn't ask for it, maybe they don't offer it. But James was clear. He thinks it's just lack of transparency to him and that they do have a plan with who they're going to hire and what position that's going to be for.
Right. I would imagine if they're reaching out to these teams and these people that they're letting them know exactly what it is that they would be coming and interviewing for. I mean, that would, just like anybody else interviewing for a position, you need to know to prepare what you're coming in for. Yeah. And if you even want to accept it in the first place.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that Adam Simon already hasn't said, I expected a sea of alerts. After
he's keeping my hope alive, which, man. I mean, at this point, just
rip the bandaid off. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Let's start in Minnesota. Let's start with the executive vice president of basketball operations. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, all six names we've talked about in the past. I don't know. Have we talked about Monty McNair?
No. I talked about, it was a different, what was it? Will Wilcox?
No. Or Wes Wilcox, sorry.
No.
See, Jill is looking for something online, and this is where I'm going to fill time.
No, I'm going through my notes, but there was someone else on the Rock. Oh, Eli Whitus. Hello. He's the other assistant general manager of the Rockets. We had talked about him previously, but
quick
not
question.
Monty.
How many pages of notes on Kings general managers?
You don't want to know.
I very much do. I never ask a question I don't want to know the answer to. Is it triple
right
digits?
Here, 18, right here is 18 pages on Word.
Okay, that's not what. But you have more somewhere else. Like Jill is the mad scientist. Like when you see Kings Twitter and maybe Jill should be in charge of this search. I don't think
that's
anybody's. I don't think anybody's kidding. Okay, let's start with a name we have talked about before, the executive vice president of basketball operations. And Sachin is the creator of the trade machine, correct?
Yep, that's what I call him, trade machine.
The creator of the trade machine. What do you think about him? Because I think some people will look at, wait a minute, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're as bad as we are. We don't want that.
Except he's only been there for a year.
There you go.
And they were saying that even he couldn't come in and get rid of some of those contracts that guys like Wiggins and I think there was Dang, Wiggins, and another one that, you know, these guys, their contracts were just untradeable. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what this guy does, is he thinks of every scenario possible. And like you said, he'll throw it against the wall, you know, and see what happens. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason why too, that when guys get hired at other, who he worked with in Houston, when they get hired elsewhere, they bring him.
Mm-hmm.
There's been two that have left that have brought him along for a reason.
So is he like a... And this person is not being considered for the job, but is he like a Ken Cantinella type?
I mean, he has that capability just in the fact that you saw that he created the trade machine and that kind of, I wouldn't say perfected his idea of, you know, the salary cap and CBA and all that stuff. But most people don't pay attention that, like, during this pandemic when everything was shut down, he was off scouting SEC games. Like, the guy does go out. And scout. He's not just a numbers guy, where that's, you hear more so about Ken being the contracts and numbers guy. He might be going out and scouting. You never hear about it. But that's one thing that Gupta has tried to say is, I'm not just that guy. Mm-hmm. But he's perfected in being in the Houston, Philadelphia, Detroit, and now Minnesota, that every front office executive that's been over him has talked about how invaluable he is. And he's not just looking at necessarily the next move. It's, if I do this move, then what, and maybe that doesn't work out, what could this move then get me two or three moves from now? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened when he did the Kevin Martin trade with Sacramento. And those assets, he realized that we weren't going anywhere, that Houston wasn't going anywhere. Went to Morey, said, what if we did this two-team deal, turned into a three-team deal with the Kings? We get as many assets as we can, and let's see what happens. Well, those assets turned into James Harden. Yes, that's not always going to happen, but you need guys that, especially in Sacramento, where we have tried to just get to the eight seed or just make it to next year, we're never looking for success long term, or realizing that these free agents, you know, we're not going to get that star. We need to get it through the draft or through trade. And that's one key thing that he's been able to do. And another piece that he said was, yeah, I'm a big analytics guy, but we don't use our computer to pick a player. Like, he still believes in having an analytics, a scouting system. Like, we just use these pieces to help us, you know, depending on what comes back from the scouts and what comes back from the player evaluators, that's all part of the puzzle piece. And he's been in very successful front offices. So, I mean, and ones that have been built in different ways. So I think he does know how to create a front office and what one should look like.
He's worked with Philadelphia. He's worked with Sam Hinkie. He's worked with Daryl Morey, as you referenced there just a moment ago. Kings fans will always know him as the guy who was the mastermind behind the famous, or infamous, I guess, salary dump that Vlade orchestrated as one of his first orders of business. Monty McNair, again, a name that we haven't talked about. He is the current assistant general manager for the Rockets. He is in an interesting position because, you know, depending on who you ask, the Rockets are in a unique situation. And he's been with the Rockets since 2007. And, you know, I don't know how this Rockets-Lakers series is going to turn out. I feel like I know how this Rockets-Lakers series is going to turn out. And I think it's going to win with the Lakers, you know, heading off to the Western Conference Finals. And I think it's going to end with the Lakers heading off to the Western Conference Finals in a couple of more nights. So a lot of people think Mike D'Antoni is out. After that, Mike D'Antoni's in the last year of his contract. There's already rumors about him having ties to the Indiana Pacers, perhaps him being a top target for the Indiana Pacers. And there are people who believe, well, Daryl Morey has swung for the fences with Chris Paul. He swung again for the fences with Russell Westbrook. And if he falls short here, and for me, much like Philadelphia was finals or bust. You had to get to the finals or you were probably going to be seeing some changes. I thought Elton Brand was going to be out. I think we all knew that Brett Brown was going to be out. I'm of the belief when this series comes to an end with the Lakers, we know that Mike D'Antoni is out, but the question is Daryl Morey out? And if Daryl Morey is out, what does that mean for Monty McNair?
Right.
Yeah,
it's another analytics guy where I will say if you're going to go the analytics route, I would have Sochin 1 and McNair 2. That's how I would rank those two guys. He actually played football at Princeton and graduated with a computer science degree and then ended up becoming an analyst with the Houston Rockets after that. But, I mean, and working – he's another one, too, where he's worked in the G League. He then got promoted up to the front office there. But when you read about the Houston Rocket guys, besides Sochin, Eli had a little bit more info, but there wasn't a whole lot on Monty, unfortunately. He kind of had that straight tagline that a lot of their front office has right now of you know, they're really great here and they manage analytic efforts. They're engaged in all avenues of our player evaluation, trades, free agency. Like, that's kind of their, our guys do it all tagline. But one piece that I thought was interesting that did kind of separate him from the other front office guys there was that it says he works closely with the coaching staff to provide on-court strategy and analysis along with opponent preparation. That was a little bit different than some of the others. So right now, obviously, you know, he's playing a certain kind of basketball.
Mm-hmm, right.
And he's been there since 2007, so they have played a wide variety of styles of basketball there. I just don't know what he would see here. And then at that point, if he really does work closely with the coach, then you would think he's going to want his coach. Right. And I don't know why you'd bring in a guy if he's not going to be able to determine that at least for a year. I don't know how much evaluation on his end could be done if he's not controlling that piece, if that's how he operates and works and is successful in that way.
Okay. I'm not super clear what you're insinuating there. So are you thinking that Monty McNair would, you know, in the interview process say like, hey, you know, I love the idea. Here's what I can do with the team. But first order of business, I got to get rid of Luke Walton.
If that's how his process works now, I would assume that.
I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, like, being that that's what he does now, I would assume, and he's successful at it. And by all accounts, Maury says this is what he's good at. Uh-huh. I don't know why. And to me, if that's what you like about him, then I don't know why you wouldn't allow that to happen here. You're starting on the wrong foot with that guy too, and not allowing him to use all of his tools and his shed, you know, to his advantage.
But is it also because is it like, so if he comes in here and he's like adamant, okay, there's a coach on the market that I want to go after. If he's coming in here with the mindset of I'll go after this job, part of, you know, my push for this job is going to be a new coach. That coach is already on the market. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he would have already had a preliminary conversation with that coach. Not a formal discussion, not a formal offer, just sure. Hey, if I landed this gig in Sacramento, what would you think about, finish the sentence there. But if he doesn't, isn't it, this is almost going to come across as a defense of Luke Walton, and I'm sure everybody will find this hysterical, but don't you like, unless it's Billy Donovan, right? Or unless it's Becky Hammond, or it's obviously not Dave Yeager, but unless it's someone, you know, that's out on the market right now, isn't that your only option to come in and wait it out with Luke Walton?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just think that would be putting him to a disadvantage.
Okay. I don't disagree.
Based on what I can read about him. I mean, but again, he might have completely different thoughts on that. It could be totally different.
I can't imagine, though. Like, no GM is going to want to take a job and not be in charge of who's coaching the team. And that's not to say a general manager.
You can make it work.
But, right, exactly. That's what to say. It's not to say that a general manager may not particularly like Luke Walton. I can't envision that scenario. But, and you know, that's going to, and I guess that's a conversation we'll get to here at the end of this, is it, but I did keep an eye on my phone today because I was curious how exit meetings were going to go with Mike Budenholzer. Again, don't think that that's even a remote possibility for Milwaukee, but I didn't think it was a remote possibility for Oklahoma City. This was the first year I went to Oklahoma City's offseason and thought, well, Billy Donovan's safe. Like, Billy Donovan's got a job for a long time. And obviously, you know, that's not the case, as Billy Donovan's on the market now.
Yeah, and I want to make clear, with all of these guys coming in, I think it's a disadvantage to all of them to not be able to hire or to put in whoever they want. That you're automatic. It's just like if you were, like we were saying, if you were to allow Dumars or whoever was here, if they couldn't find someone to hire and he was making the draft and free agents, then you come in, you're being blamed for somebody else's moves and issues. That it just becomes this weird limbo. And if you are as a team going to allow Luke to stay, which very well could because of the money issues or whatever, then you have to know that this is kind of a dud evaluation year. That it's, right. I mean, it is what it is. And I see Kings fans all the time, like, well, they have to know how mad, you know, the fan base is and how much we want it to change. Of course, we all want that. But then you'd all have to understand too, that you're going into a year where, you know, your front office is not getting to make every single decision.
And there is an advantage the Kings might have is, and you're right, a dead evaluation year is because, you know, you can't, in my estimation, you can't evaluate Buddy Hield under Luke Walton anymore. You have to evaluate Buddy Hield under a new coach. I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but I'm still of the mindset Buddy is a whatever is better than serviceable. Like, he is a good NBA player. I don't think he's a good NBA player under Luke Walton or a good enough NBA. I think he makes too many. His pluses, his minuses can outweigh his pluses on too many occasions.
In that system, 100%.
But, you know, you talk about the fan base potentially being, or we know the fan base is fed up, but you talk about, the fan base saying this and a fan base saying that. One advantage that the Kings front office might have, and really the Kings ownership might have, and this is certainly something that they don't want, but it could be a reality that they're facing, is we've got to accept the very real, and of my guess, the very, very likely possibility the Golden 1 Center is empty again for, if not the whole season, a very, very large portion of it. And so you talk about a dead evaluation period. Well, you're going to have a dead evaluation period with your fan base as well. And we know that the Kings, along with a number of other teams, are in, you know, serious, you know, they're having a lot of financial difficulties, as many people, you know, all across the world are. But evaluating, evaluating is the wrong word. Checking the temperature of your fan base. There's a very, you know, major likelihood that's not going to be a thing this year. You don't measure by booing Luke Walton or booing Dave Yeager. That's not a thing. An empty arena, that's a thing. That's sure. how you measure it. And you may
season. I mean, yes, there's plenty of, yeah.
And even that, like, think about the difficulties in evaluating that, because you're going to have people's, you know, since the last time the Kings played a game or the last time the Kings were scheduled to play a game, think of how many of those people who were in that arena on March 11th when they were sent home. Think of how many people's financial situations have changed, you know, drastically since then. And again, this is all a really, really difficult process, you know, to measure, which in this very odd sense might work in ownership's advantage.
It's
a terrible way of, like, looking at this, but it's not inaccurate. Wes Wilcox, we haven't talked about Wes Wilcox, have we? And I don't know, you can't see the look on Jill's face. Jill, I'm guessing he's not on the top of your list. Did he make part 10 of the Hoops and Wine GM search?
I did not have him in my stratosphere at all. And I know that he's a name gets thrown around ever since he had to resign and is now.
That's worth repeating, by the way, so that didn't sneak by anybody. He had to resign. Apparently he made some sort of insensitive joke. I guess the joke is out there. I've never seen it.
It was at a fan event. And okay. He got asked a question and said something about, oh, I'm used to arguments or being in argumentative.
Oh, because I'm married to a black woman.
And
right?
said mixed kids. Like, yeah. It was like, you literally could have just said, I'm married to a woman and have three kids. And people would have been like, yep, I get ya.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that now. I mean, okay.
Oh, sure, you're going to get in arguments. Yeah. But as soon as he said that, and then it was also around the Danny Ferry thing, like, it was I mean, the times where it was just like, and he said he was trying to make a joke and diffuse the situation, which, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot, but, like, yeah, I don't want to try to, they're right, just.
So, for a team with enough PR issues, I don't think you need to necessarily throw that on there. But the thing for him is, he has the resume that anyone would want, which is, I think, why his name gets thrown around. But
another member of the Heat.
Why no one, he's had to be a special advisor since 2017 to the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Which I made the joke, that's the only reason he's in the running, because he has the special advisor.
He's another groomed out of the Miami Heat video department. That is a hell of, has mm-hmm. I don't know if a department has ever gone to the Hall of Fame before, but if there was, the Miami Heat video department should go to the Hall of Fame. Wes Wilcox is a part of that. So,
and he was successful in Atlanta up until, you know, he made those remarks. And so,
I mean, it's easy to forget. It wasn't that long ago. The Atlanta Hawks won like 60 games in a season.
And they brought, I mean, excluding him, they were bringing a bunch of San Antonio Spurs people over. Mm-hmm. It worked for him. It worked for him. There were a bunch of them going back and forth, but it worked.
Who signed the Joe Johnson contract? Was that Atlanta of 2010? The point I was getting at is you were able to unload it. What arguably was...
He was with Cleveland at that point.
Oh, okay.
He didn't become assistant general manager with the Hawks until 2012.
Yeah, it was 2010. Joe Johnson signed what appeared to be, at the time, now it looks like chump change. It was 6 years, $123 million. Like, bro, that's like, 10 years ago, Joe Johnson signed a 6-year, $123 million deal, and it was absurd. It was absurd partly because it was Joe Johnson, and he was a free agent the same year Amari Stoudemire was, which in 2020 sounds ridiculous, but it was the same year of LeBron and the Heatles and all of that stuff. But Giannis is due twice that. Giannis's upcoming contract is $254 million. Just to put the last 10 years into perspective for some people, Giannis's next contract is, and this was the absolute max deal that a player could sign. He was the highest paid player in the NBA, and Giannis's next deal that it doesn't sound like he's going to sign it this year, but the next deal that he can sign this year and next year is worth over twice that amount. So we've covered every name that was in the Athletic article.
Yes. And I will add on to this is, out of those six names, you did see a theme though between them, is you saw some of the brightest analytic minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when Wilcox was the GM, I will say, and some of the best talent evaluators, or at least going up through, because Calvin Booth started after he finished playing the next year, he started as a video intern with the Washington Wizards. So you found guys that kind of built themselves up through these video rooms, mm-hmm. and player evaluations, and then you have your analytics. So you did see pieces of both sides, but whoever you choose, you're going to have, if you choose the scout, you know, talent evaluation guy, you're going to need an analytics guy. If you choose the analytics guy, you're going to need, you know, your scout talent evaluator. So whether they could even get two of these guys maybe to come together, I don't know. Because you're looking at a guy with Sashin as an executive VP of basketball ops. And we've mentioned this before, where titles are really strange in the NBA. And depending on the team, that title can be the same as somebody else with another team, but completely different hierarchies depending on, you know, who's in their front office.
Right.
But right now, Sochin is the number two guy in Minnesota as a VP. I don't know if he'd want that same title, not a GM. Like, it's weird how that works. But I'm curious if, like you mentioned, that Ham was saying that they're kind of being evasive because maybe somebody does say, I want that VP role or I want the GM role. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe get two of these guys off the list and put them together? I don't know.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I certainly don't know. I would venture no, only because I would think as part of the interview process, it's just a guess on my part, but as part of the interview process, I would think like if you know, pick any one of those three names who we don't think are going to, who are going to rule themselves out. And
right.
They get an interview scheduled next week. They're taking this job seriously. My guess is they're going to come in with a team, like a presentation of a team. Not they're going to come in with a whole bunch of people. I mean, sure. They're going to come in with a presentation. Like, here's my idea. Here's how I would structure my front office.
I'd hope so. Yeah.
Right. And I doubt that, hey, you know, if Wes doesn't get this job, like, I want to bring him in here with me. Like, if I'm money and I'm saying, yeah, if Wes doesn't get this, I'm going to bring him here with me. So we've got a chance. You hire me, you might be able to get both of us. Like, I, you know, they're trying to lay out their staff and figure out how they can put this together. But here's the uncomfortable thing, or here's the thing that I think is going to make Kings fans uncomfortable, because one of the common responses to the news from The Athletic was, hey, no Scott Perry. That doesn't mean that Scott Perry is not going to be contacted and be asked to interview. It means he wasn't on that initial list of six. And again, you mentioned this, it's worth, you know, bringing this back up. This is a search firm that is involved here. And so there's a lot of different things, you know, at play, but that was the first response. Both James Hamm, Sam Amick, who was a part of the original report with Shams, and I think Jason Jones, they've all noted there's a real likelihood, a strong likelihood, and you probably have a safe assumption that the list is going to get longer. This is the initial list. This is their first target six candidates. One day later, it was down to five. You and I both expected to drop to four, and it wouldn't be outrageous for it to drop as low as three. Are you just going to interview those three, or do you have like a next crop of people that you're going to interview? And the answer is you probably have the next crop.
I would hope so. And I hope it would include guys like Trent Redden and Mark Hughes to fill in those talent evaluators that you lost saying no to you in this, sure, in this first round.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it wouldn't just, to me personally, I hope it wouldn't just be more analytical guys. Cause to me, if you're going to go analytical, you have the best one right here. There's no need to look anywhere else, in my opinion. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There's, for you, you don't want to look anywhere else, but maybe Sochin is like, eh, I got the number one overall pick in the draft coming to my organization.
I think there's mutual interest there. To me, he is the most, if you're going to keep this list, this is the guy that I see coming out of it on top. I will say that. If Adam's gone, and that's, I think he is.
But I'm confused by what you mean. You think it's who the Kings will want?
I think it's both.
You'll think it's what the Kings will want, and it's what Sochin will want?
That's my prediction.
Okay. I can go with that.
I will put it this way. I will be absolutely shocked, like beyond shocked, if he comes out and says he does not want this job.
Like before an interview, like if he goes the Trajan Langdon route. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. So he's a guy I admittedly don't know a lot about. I know a lot more about Trajan Langdon for a variety. I know a lot more about those guys. We've talked, and you, like, I think you were the one who really hipped me to Sochin Gupta. Again, you hear names in NBA circles. You don't always retain the information until you realize you need it. And it's like, wait a minute, I've heard this before. Why have I heard this? Oh, he was the guy in charge of the trade back in 2015 or whatever year it was, 16, whatever it was. And like, oh, okay. And then you start to kind of put pieces of the puzzle together and see, like, oh, all right. it's interesting because if I'm him, I'm thinking I got Carl Anthony Towns. There's multiple ways to think about when you have a roster similar to what Trajan Langdon has and what Sachin has in Minnesota. And it's
it's going to depend on how much he wants to. He, right now, he's the number two guy. Does he want to be the guy? And based on everywhere he's been, I think he wants to be the guy. I do.
And that's the most important thing with all of these candidates, with a few exceptions. Trajan is the guy, but he has a Pat Riley-ish. You know, I mean, obviously no one's Pat Riley, but you know what I mean. Griff is going to be, you know, Griff is in charge of, you know, what happens in New Orleans, but I don't, you know, he hired Trajan Langdon for a reason. Adam Simon's, you know, the same way. He's in a situation where it's going to be difficult, you know, to rip him apart or rip him away from it. And so you have, I mean, I'm fascinated at how all of this turns out, because you talked about pairing guys up together, potentially an ideal situation. Maybe the pairing comes from the second group. You know how we talked about this, you know, there's the first tier of guys, and then there's the second tier of guys. Maybe that's where a potential pairing comes up. If Sachin winds up being the guy, maybe he has some, again, I believe all of these guys have a prospective staff. And so, you know, guys in these circles, they talk just like players talk. We talk about, you know, boy, there are so many super teams being formed in the bubble over the last 2 months. Guys talking about playing together for the first time, all those sorts of things. It's not different than coaches. It's not different than front offices talking about, hey, if the opportunity ever becomes available, you know, we'll get you over here. There's a guy, there's a reason why guys like Mike Brown, they're never unemployed very long. Alvin Gentry, you know, they're never unemployed very long. You know, there are financial situations. Like, I was thinking about, man, Dave Yeager didn't even get a job offer last year. Oh, of course, Dave Yeager was paid. He probably told everybody, hey, I'm chilling. I'm going to let this season ride out, let some availability become out there in the job market, and then come holler at me. But until then, I'm going to sit. Alvin Gentry has the luxury of doing the same thing, though he could be on the, you know, front end of a bench in a heartbeat if he wanted to. So the NBA is so much about relationships, both players, agents, front offices, coaches, the whole deal. And I'm interested on what some of these guys' relationships. I'd have to imagine Adam Simon has deep relationships across the league, being being in the league as long as he has.
Yeah, and something that I think that a lot of people don't even realize is, like, I do think he's one of the most unreported about names. But he also is on the selection committee for the senior national team, for the U.S. team.
Okay. USA basketball.
And he also does stuff like with the World Cup. He does like the Basketball Without Borders in multiple countries. His Rolodex is huge.
Yeah. So. Connections. And connect with Manscaped right now. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code HOOPBALL20. That'll get you 20% off your order. It'll get you free shipping. You can get the Lawnmower 3.0. It is their third generation trimmer. It features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents, thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. HOOPBALL20, use that at checkout and get 20% off your order plus free shipping. Head over to manscaped.com. Anything you got in closing? Anything we didn't cover? Any name that you want to throw out there? Did you wake up in a cold sweat and go, oh, I've got to add this guy to my list?
Not yet. I've spent most of the time just going back over these, well, what was six names that's now down to five. I'm more curious now that if more names are added, if it's going to be anyone that I've already talked about, or if it's going to be someone complete, like Wes, who's like out of left field. So, like I said, I think they're on the right track. And I know there was some talk too of people. There were a couple comments that I saw of, great, the Kings are doing it wrong again. You know, these names came out and there wasn't even mutual interest. But I'm like, this is what happens with every coaching vacancy. This is what happens with every front office vacancy. The names go out and then they either accept or they decline, but the names get out, because that's great PR for these guys too, that, you know, that these positions are being offered, but this wasn't some bad leak by the Kings that no. some kind of thought was going on. That's to me, like I've been saying, is you make them say no. Call all of them, make them say no. But at least you're actually reaching out to qualified people.
If someone doesn't want their name out there, it's probably explicitly stated at the beginning. I'll give you a perfect example. The Brooklyn Nets head coach. You talk about coming out of nowhere. Like that came out of nowhere. There was a reason it came out of nowhere. I'm very confident they were told, we're interested in it. Let's not make this like a public circus. Like, let's keep this under wraps. And you saw how it turned out. Normally those types of things, it has a lot to do with agents as well. Yeah. But again, a lot of that stuff, it has to be explicitly stated at the top. Hey, this needs to stay, you know, under wraps. And you're right. It doesn't do any of those guys any harm for their name to be mentioned. Yeah, like even Trajan turning it down, that does no harm to anybody. Trajan's in a very good situation.
It's like I said, it's the same way we see every free agent and come trade deadline always tied to us, because they're trying to get interest out there that look, they want my guy. They want my people. Like, yeah, I just wanted to make it that this is a totally normal process. It's the same way you saw the article come out today about Jaeger and Becky Hammond and, you know, people on right now on the list for the Pacers. We've seen the list for the Sixers job. You know, it's people who've been interested in OKC and who are interested in New Orleans. Like this is how the PR game is played. But I just wanted to put it out there that they are following the process as they should. And I know we're used to that not happening. So we're always like, oh God, did they do something bad? But this is exactly what they should be doing right now. So
will Becky be the first woman head coach?
I hope so.
Will there be a woman to run a basketball team?
Wasn't she interviewed for the Milwaukee
general manager
position?
Like a GM job?
I don't know. I don't think I'm crazy, but I'm pretty sure that it was super random.
Yeah, I don't think I was aware of that. I'm curious. The point I was getting at is we're headed towards, it feels like, I don't know when Becky is going to get a job. I think everybody's in agreement. Becky's going to be the first head coach. There's only a couple of them. She did.
They contacted her. I knew it to interview for the vacant general manager position.
Huh.
This was 2018. And people were saying, oh, isn't she skipping the line? That was the big thing she's skipping the line. She's not even a coach first.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Okay.
So yes,
There aren't
I knew it because it was super random when it happened. It was like, whoa, like I only had her pegged as okay, she's gonna wanna be a coach. And then she went and interviewed for it. And that she actually had really good reviews coming out of it. So not surprising.
Yeah, no, not surprising at all. Well, cool. I guess we'll wait to see what happens next. Remember, subscribe, rate, and review. Do all of that stuff. Share it on social media. Tell all of your Kings friends about the Sacramento Kings podcast with Jill and Damian. And we'll connect again next Wednesday.
We'll see what changes happen between now and then.
I know.
Anything is possible.
Thanks.
Yes, they also said that interviews could happen within the next week. So we could be talking about interviews. We could be talking about new names. So
big thanks to Sham and Sam for dropping this report on a Tuesday. So we had it to cover here on a Wednesday. And I think you caught this note because I'm confident you retweeted it. James Hamm thinks we could be looking at the end of the month, potentially early October, for having a general manager in place. All of this plays into the fact that the NBA today – they announced they're pushing the draft and free agency back. They didn't give a definitive date. There is a tentative date of November 18th, which that actually stunned me because that's over a month later than was originally projected in October, which the first thing I saw was, oh, wow. Okay. I know Adam Silver said December 1st was early to start the season. What Adam Silver didn't say is December 1st might be way too early to start the season. Like, I had always hoped for a Christmas Day start. Now I think we might be looking at the middle to late January for a start.
Yeah, and I think the big piece there is, and granted, I agree with the front office guys, mm-hmm. that they need to know what they're looking at in terms of salary cap.
Yeah.
What each draft pick is going to cost. I mean, because you have guys factoring in all those pieces for their moves of what they're going to be doing this offseason between free agency, draft, how valuable is each pick, you know, things like that, that really needs to be sorted out, not like a week prior to. And it looks like they're still trying to figure out how they're even going to handle these incoming draft picks.
Right. Workouts, virtual workouts. Yeah. The whole thing. It's something. And yeah, it's been a strange year. It's going to get stranger. It's going to bleed into 2021. But yeah, that was a big notable note there, that the draft has been pushed back, which actually helps the Sacramento Kings situation.
I was just gonna say, that's a huge win for the Kings. If that ends up happening, and you do get the hire by the mm-hmm. end of this month, that gives them a lot of opportunity to build what they, or at least start building what they want to build.
We'll see you here next Wednesday on the Sacramento Kings podcast with Joe Adge and Damian Barling.